call our meeting back to order. Lead us through this, Mary.
So, Mr. Chairman, I sent you a packet of stuff. Since Commissioner Rauhauser has been on board, we have kind of gone on this journey to figure out scholarships because we determined there was a lot of misinformation, misunderstanding. We didn't really know what, but we have a pot full of kids that are getting pretty nice scholarships, and we were trying to figure out how to make that more understandable for the public, for the students, the parents, and to try to make it more manageable for me, and to keep the program going. So that's kind of where this all started from. The packet that I sent to you, and I think it was in the email also that I explained, the first item that was in the packet is the information sheet that I put together every year that explains to the graduating seniors what's required for them to apply. Also that it's renewable and the date that that's due. The second page, if you'll remember, when Jim Latta was on the board, we had a discussion about criteria for the scholarships that we were going to give because we'd received some criticism because we were given scholarships out of state, and we were given a lot of scholarships out of state when in reality we really weren't.
Right.
And then what we were going to use for criteria to award scholarships. If it was a grade point average and an ACT score, or if you wanted discretion or whatever. So that's kind of in this packet also. Mac has added in what the Hathaway scholarship looks like. So that's another page of information so that you know what it takes to qualify for any of those Hathaway scholarships. And they are kind of different from what they used to be in the beginning. There was more money in them than there is now, but they're still significant. $1,680 a semester is significant.
Yeah, for the high one.
So anyway, that I sent you a sample of the letter that I send to the students that the graduating seniors when they are awarded the scholarship. And it explains to them what I need from them, that I need a letter from them that accepts the scholarship, that includes where they're going to go to college, because a lot of times the applications come in and say, I'm going to go to XYZ colleges, or I've applied to XYZ colleges, and then they haven't decided, or maybe they've already been accepted or whatever, but I need something that shows where they're going to school, and explain to them that I pay the college directly, not them, and that I need their student ID number and their college email address so I can communicate with them. Some of the kids give me their email address that's attached to the school. Well, they don't know that once they're graduated from high school that it's not, but a few weeks that their email address at school doesn't work anymore. And it's time to grow up and get your own email address in the real world, which 99% of the kids have, but there's always a few. Then I also attached in the packet the letter that I send out to the renewal scholarships. So we have the scholarships that we give to the graduating seniors, and then we have those kids that can renew their scholarship. And we've allowed that. We've allowed them to accumulate 8 semesters of scholarship, but they can renew their scholarship and what the requirements. I send that letter out in the spring, March or April, and that goes by email to all the current scholarship recipients, and it tells them what they need to do to reapply for their scholarship. Which it's pretty easy. There's a deadline for the application, and I need a copy of your grades because their only requirement is that they maintain a 2.5 grade point average. And this year we had 3 students that didn't do anything until August. And the applications are due in June. And I also leave on there that they have the opportunity, if, excuse me, if they're having problems, like if they can't get their grades or whatever, call me, write me, walk into the office, let me know what your trouble is. I make that deadline. I can deal with that. If you're having trouble getting your grades, sometimes that happens. You know, let me know. And then, let's see, I have a copy of an email that I sent, or a copy of the email that I send to all the students when I send out their checks. So I send checks in August and December to the schools. And of course, when I send the check to the University of Wyoming, I'm probably paying for 12 or 15 kids at a time. So it's a considerable check. So I don't carve, I don't have a check for each kid. I bundle those together. And if one kid's messed up, then he messes up the rest of the group also. We've been pretty lucky with that, though, that the colleges have been pretty understanding if we have something that is a snafu. But I notify all of them, and I ask them to respond to me when they see their account credit. I can tell you right now, it is October 17th, and I probably have six out of this year's group that I haven't heard from. So I don't know if they got their money. I know one of them didn't get their money because I've seen their mother. But, you know, you got to talk to me. And these kids know me. I've been talking to them. I talked to them last year. Some of them I've been talking to for 3 years. We have email. And they will, some of them, I mean, you know, I've got the kids that don't talk to me. And then I have the kids that will talk to me on a regular basis. And, you know. Anyway, the last page that was in this packet is the discussion items, I think, for today. We wanted to, and I think this is probably where Mac jumps in. I compiled your information kind of into this last sheet. And some of that information that we had, we've got in some of these other things. But with the goal of, if we can make this simpler, if we can make it clearer, if there's something you see that I should be doing, if I need a follow-up letter here someplace, or if you want to tell me, you know, you dog these children until we get them funded, whatever you think we should be doing to help out, I think the one big discussion that I had somebody ask me even last week is there's lots of confusion about once I'm designated as a scholarship recipient, is it a lifetime sentence? If I'm an alternate, am I eligible for, you know, that whole thing? Or gee whiz, so-and-so that was in my kid's class isn't going to college anymore. I wonder if that scholarship's available for my kid who's struggling and actually not going to school this year because they're working, because they didn't get a scholarship or whatever. So those mechanics, I think myself that one of the things that happens is I don't think that these kids and parents get enough information on the front end, maybe. About what the scholarship is, but I don't know.
If there's something that we can send them, you know, once they are awarded that scholarship that just lines out, okay, this is what it is. It isn't perpetual unless you, you know, renew it, or, you know, something that gives them a timeline, maybe. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Do we now, or if we don't, would it not be worth considering having them sign, upon receipt of the scholarship, a document that says they have read and understand, and then also have that signed by their parents? I mean, just to say,
so like a contract,
like,
yeah.
Mostly a contract.
Yeah.
And I'm acknowledging I've read and reviewed and understand whatever.
That's not a bad idea.
I think that might be help.
That might help.
Well, and I think one of the things that happens is that I send this information, I mean, our information sheet, I think, is good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We send it to the counselors, and that's probably where it ends.
Well,
and that information sheet should go to those recipients.
Mm-hmm.
Recipients and parents.
Yeah.
So if we have a specific contract like we just talked about here and give that to the counselor and say, give that to the kid and it needs to be sent back to us, that may be the first thing they need to do.
Okay, so let me tell you another thing that I didn't tell you about before is what the mechanics. So you guys award the scholarships like in April, and the big crunch is that they want to know those as soon as they can to make the graduation program. When you award your scholarships, I send each one of those kids a letter and tell them that I copy it to the counselor, but I send each one of those kids a letter. Now, one of the problems I've run into there is that I've sent them, and sometimes I have good information, like addresses, and sometimes I don't. I've sent them out, and they've come back because that address doesn't work for mail. I mean, so that's kind of another sidekick, but I send all of those kids a letter. I could very easily send that contract back, and that contract could have in it the information I need, like your email address and your student ID at wherever you're going to school, and that, plus have attached with it, this is what this scholarship is.
Yep.
It's going to be this. This is how it's going to be distributed, and you're eligible for more.
I mean, it's just like a loan. You sign the paper.
Yeah.
There's your agreement.
One of the biggest concerns that the counselors have is that you may have three kids vying for this scholarship because of the criteria that's been put forth, and they don't know until the grades come out, which is 2 days or 1 day or 3 days before graduation. And they want to get their program put together and everything like that. But they say they know exactly who's not going to get it through the qualifications. But they say it gets to be a little bit scary. But one of the prime things for the commissioner scholarship was need.
Yeah.
You know, didn't want a kid going and getting $50,000 to go, and he was, you know, bought a new car with his scholarship.
We didn't want to provide beer money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think everything is laid out here. I think what Mary just said, everybody of this contract, I think would solve a lot of problems. I think the biggest thing is the fact that it's easy to figure out who to give the scholarship to. It's awful difficult to tell them you didn't meet the requirements to keep your scholarship. And if it's communication, that's one of the major things. You got to communicate with people.
I think a little communication in that contract, if you will, is this is what you're going to have to do each semester in order to keep this scholarship.
Right.
This isn't a perpetual scholarship. Mm-hmm. You have to
qualify
each semester in order to keep it.
Yeah, it's an annual renewal.
And you sign it acknowledging you've read it.
Yeah.
And your parents
have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it, you know, it is. It's a lesson in adulthood is what it is.
Well, and you know, and it's amazing.
If you don't do X, Y, and Z,
yeah,
you lose this money.
But the other thing that's amazing is you look at how many kids, you know, we give scholarships to, and how many of them are navigating it.
And how many of
you
them
know?
Do what they need to do to get it renewed
year
to year.
Yeah.
They keep in touch with you.
Yeah.
They do it themselves. Their parents don't do it.
Yeah. So that's what's crazy about this is that you have, just like in anything, you got a few of the bad apples, and then you've got, you know, by far the majority of those kids, they get it. They understand how to navigate it.
And we've come
you
to
know?
The conclusion that we are no longer doing alternates. So that's out of the equation.
Right.
Well, and that's been, and that the alternate thing came back from the statutory scholarships back when we had the four, you know, which we still do. We still have those four statutory scholarships, but they would have us designate alternates in case those kids didn't accept or something happened. Well, nine times out of ten, those kids are in. We might have
particular year.
Yeah, and that was for that particular fall. It wasn't a lifetime designation.
Right.
Because there wasn't a lifetime scholarship. All there was this initial
tuition.
It was a tuition waiver for them in the beginning until they got Hathaway, and then it got messed up you know, to $1,000. But it was a tuition waiver for a year. That was it. And we had one renewal scholarship, tuition waiver for a year. The requirement was is that you had to have been a prior recipient to qualify for the renewal. So, and where our programs got whacked out also is the fact that, you know, you guys are funding all those other scholarships. Totally up to you how you want to do it, how you want to, how many you want to do, all those kinds of things. And if we don't use the money, the money's staying in, you know, in the county's general fund. You know, so, and that's another thing is that there's always an opportunity to scale back if you think, totally your program the way you want to roll it out. And I do tell the schools that the number of scholarships that we're going to issue are going to vary. You know, you may want to look at that this year and say, geez, we gave 10 last year, but maybe we only want to do 8 this year, or maybe we only want to do 4, or maybe, you know, whatever that is.
So, depending on how our assessed valuation plays out.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There, I don't believe that we want to curb our flexibility to be able to, because there's some things that have come up through discussions. One was like, what happens if we got a really bright kid that has issues and is going to go full-time online to an accredited university?
Right.
Well, that's the way kids are doing it nowadays. So are they not in the mix? Well, that's a discussion item. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
The scholarship, the Hathaway scholarship is a 6-year scholarship, which I didn't realize.
I didn't know.
What I mean by that is you have 6 years to use your 4 years.
Oh.
So if you take a 2-year break, you still can come back. And get your money.
It's the average matriculation rate at UW.
It could be, you know. The other thing is if you have a really good student that took AP classes or online classes all the way through high school and gets done in 3 years, can they use the 1 year to get their master's degree or start to get their master's degree?
We've had a little of that flexibility in the past.
Well, I think we need to stay that way. Yeah. I don't think you want to take away that.
I think you need to take it on a case-by-case basis that way, too. I agree. You need to stay flexible because this online thing is huge now.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Well, and myself personally, I think the rigidity needs to come to where it is, we're sorry, you lost your scholarship because this is what you didn't do.
Yeah, you failed to meet.
You failed to meet the requirements.
Yeah.
Whether it be the date, whether it be the grades, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it takes the pressure off Mary. It takes it off us when we get that phone call that says, "Well, how come my son didn't get his or daughter didn't get their scholarship? Well, they're 2 months late."
Yeah. Well, we don't want to be able to say we didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, see, and that's the thing that happened this year, because like I told you, there were 3 kids, and this one kid, the mom called me, and she says, you know, she says, my daughter is excellent with this stuff. She says, my son is not. She said, I've got this, you know, whatever. I said, you know, I said, he's a month late. I said, did he get this information from me? I said, I show that I sent this email to this address. Well, the kid responds back to me at the same address. And I'm like, you know, you know, and that's what I did with another kid. She didn't get her stuff in. She's like, oh, middle of August. Oh, how are we doing with the scholarships? I was like, well, where's your application?
Yeah.
You know, no application. And this kid's a senior this year. I'm going, where's your head been? And I said, I don't have an application for you. I said, I went back and I got my, and that's part of the reason why I want to do this stuff by email. Number one, they're all doing it. They have to do it for school. The other thing is, too, is that I got a cover.
Got a paper trail.
I got a paper trail. And I can say, okay, I sent you this email on this day. Is your email address still this email? You know, because stuff does happen, you know. And if we have a situation like that where it's like, okay, you know, the computer crashed that day when these were due or whatever. And I talked to you guys about that this summer. You know, those applications were due, and I asked you to delay a little bit so I could follow up and make sure I had everything, because most of them are sending them in. And, I mean, we're talking 25 kids sending in applications. I want to make dang sure that I've got all of those in place, because I don't want to be the one that's sitting here giving the bad news, because it's not, you know, when you got a mom sitting here going like, you know, I really need that $4,000 to keep this kid in school, and he's boobed it up, and I want to kill him. And when you sit there and say, hey, I got one of those kids at home too. I feel your pain, you know.
Do we want to continue? The question came up earlier. Do we want to continue giving the same number of scholarships that we gave last year?
I think at this point we stick with what we've decided, but I think we also need to retain the flexibility to see how we pan out here the rest of this quarter and into the next quarter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think you need, well, and the other thing is too, is I think it's fair for you guys to decide when you see the applications, what you've got, what you're going to do.
Oh, I see. Because it's not really advertised that there's going to be four county commissioner scholarships.
Three
or whatever.
Nope. And that's one of the flexibility points the commissioners have always kept, is it's like, okay, so looks like we've got 10 viable candidates here, maybe. Let's stay at 10. Or if we ended up, I mean, I was looking back at some stuff yesterday when I was working on this, and I'm going like, wow. I do that review sheet for completeness, you know, mm-hmm. that I give you guys that says their application is complete. And there was one year we were doing the four, and we only had two applications from one high school, and we had three from the other.
Mm-hmm. And we've had years where we've had 20 viable candidates,
yeah.
too.
So I think you need the flexibility to decide the number when you see what we get.
It is the best scholarship right now.
The hardest thing, the thing that has been so hard for me to try and retain some continuity, has been not to penalize the ones who have done really well.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's really hard not to do, because they're going to get the full rides anyway. But not acknowledging them is some type of it's almost like punishing them for doing well.
So, see, I didn't realize that they don't do the honors scholarship that is in the state is given out on a statewide basis now.
Because it used to be school by school.
It used to be every school got two scholarships.
Right. That's where
it
was.
Now it is statewide, and you have to meet such, you know, get a 32 on the ACT and, of course, have all the prerequisites and everything like that. But then it's a competition amongst the state.
Right.
Well, last year, Big Piney had no one that was even considered.
Wow.
Pinedale had three.
Yeah.
Do we know that before we award our scholarships?
I think we do.
I think we can know that.
Yes.
I think we can know that.
That would be important
information
to have.
Absolutely. We know that this person.
I think we did last year.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
And it was an ACT.
Because we looked at that. Yeah.
That's right. True. That's
but it's an in-state scholarship.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. And I'll make sure, or we'll make sure that we ask Norman, because Hannah was really good about giving that information.
Yeah, and we, yeah.
Okay.
Because that's another thing, too, is I think it's important that you talk to the counselors every year
once we started, we didn't used to do that.
Yeah.
But once we started doing that,
talking to the counselors, that's helped.
It was really valuable.
It's helped with the applications mm-hmm. coming in complete, but the other part of it is, too, is they know who's getting what. And one of the things that this board's tried to do over time is make sure that you spread the wealth.
Yeah.
You know.
And I talked to both of them within the last month, and they're both, you know, of course, very appreciative of the scholarships, but they're facing the same problems, not on a huge scale like Mary is, but kids not communicating, kids, you know, it's just a changing times.
Are these some good pointers then on moving forward, Mary? I mean, is this something that we can put together in a contract form?
I think so. I think if you look at these questions that we had at the very end, if we could get maybe an answer to those questions, I can put this together. But I really like the idea of the contract.
Yeah.
And because I always go back to, okay, I think I have told you everything that I could possibly think of,
right.
But I must not be getting enough information across to them. But if they're signing something, they've got something they can make a copy of, they've got something that their mother can see, and they've got it on hand and say, okay, are we all paying attention here? And I think that would be a great step forward to...
The other thing it can help is reduce the accusations that...
Yeah, well, you didn't tell me.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Is this your signature?
Yeah.
This may be counterproductive, yeah. But when you send the email to the child, you also CC the mother.
Right.
At least you could say they're still in high school.
Once they're out,
they're on their own. You had a comment.
We had talked about putting in the application, whether or not they had applied or been to Boy State or Girl State.
Oh yeah.
And I really like that idea because we are government. Boys and Girls State is teaching government. I mean, it's what it's all about. So I think that's very appropriate, but we need to be thinking, if that's in there, then what level of consideration do we give that?
Yeah.
If we have, depending on if everything else is equal, what do we do with it?
I think
that's what we're going to have to decide.
Right. And I think this makes a very valid tiebreaker.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure, for that.
When I met with the Legion people on that Saturday meeting, their biggest concern was, of course, the lack of interest. It's changing times. But kids are all going to football camp when the ones that aren't playing football that may be going to Boy State or Girl State, that's where they're going. And they're having to make that choice. And all I could hear in my head was giving up football for 3 days or $4,000. Because you're not Division I, buddy.
You're not going to get that $4,000 from the football coach.
No.
Just moves it up on their priority list in terms of the decision making.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. But I told and I stressed that with both the counselors that it was going to be on the list. But I had no idea where it would be on the list of criteria.
Yeah.
But it's going to be there,
right?
In like community service.
It enhances your application.
Yeah, case by case.
Yep.
Absolutely. Again, case by case basis. So.
And they were ecstatic that we were doing that.
So, yeah. Do we want to go through these discussion items now? I don't know if we need to know this information right now. If you guys wanted to talk, because what I did was, and you probably saw this, that for graduating seniors, does a student need to enroll in fall semester of the year of graduation? That's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
We don't let them defer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Is there an alternate position?
No.
No.
No. No more alternates.
Does the student need to be enrolled full time?
Yes.
Now that's one we haven't really ever talked about.
Yes.
But I think they should
be. Well, any scholarship we've given, they've had to carry so many hours, right? We haven't had a hard and fast rule, but...
No, but we've expected
them to be full-time. And what's full-time? Anything over
12?
12. I think 12 is what the standard is.
I think we need to put that in there,
okay.
In that contract.
Because I know I get that question.
Yep.
I'll get that question going on. It's like, well...
I think
do I have to be full time? Yeah,
yes.
Need to be full time.
I'm sure the college is going to know somewhere, but what's
considered
a full time student?
Right, right.
A lot of us do 18 and 19.
So, are online courses from an accredited school eligible for the scholarship?
Yeah, and we need to have some discussion on that because really, that's where it is headed. But I do know some online courses that are bogus, if you will.
Yeah.
So even though it's from an accredited college.
And that could be, again, a case-by-case basis when that comes up.
Yeah, so I don't know that we say yes on that.
Right.
We can mull that one over.
Yeah.
Okay, so now renewals. If the student takes a break, is a scholarship still available? So what we've done in the past, and this is basically the mission kid.
Case by case.
Case by case is how we've dealt with those. The other thing that we've had happen also is we had one kid that came in and said, geez, I want to stay home this semester. I don't like what I'm doing. I can't figure it out. I need a break, and took the break and finished out and got her degree. But I think you need, I personally think you need to keep that on a case-by-case basis.
I do, case-by-case, because we also had another student that didn't make the grades one semester and came back and fought their way back the next semester and got the grades. Yeah. So we gave that scholarship back. So.
We could make it renewable at the discretion of the commission.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's...
Yeah. And I think you need to have that ability, because the goal of this is to get those kids educated. So maybe they'll come back home and
get
be a contributor.
Here. Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, then communication with me on transfers anything else is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can do that.
You put that in part of the contract.
Right, that's part of the contract. Yeah. Then, general discussion, how many scholarships should we give? I think you need to wait and see what, you know.
Yep, where we are.
See where we're at this spring.
And then your criteria. The criteria for the graduating seniors has always been grades, ACT score, extracurricular activities, community involvement, financial need, and then we had talked about student endorsement.
Well, I guess that where that came from in my head was, I think that we had to be very, very careful, is that if I said you guys, my next door neighbor really needs a scholarship.
And they might.
And they might. Absolutely. So let the chips fall where they may. Don't endorse them.
Okay. One thing that I'd like to see added, I was in a situation unaware last year because I was asked to write a letter before I got elected. And it should go maybe as an unspoken, but we ought to make it a spoken condition that commissioners are not allowed to write letters of recommendation.
We can do that. Because the letters of recommendation, they're required to have three letters of recommendation, only one educator, no family.
And you imagine how many problems we had with just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. I mean, we ought to just clear it up.
Okay. And I can add that in there.
It automatically creates conflict of interest.
Yeah, but it does. But it automatically gives us an out and say, no, there's a requirement, I can't do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. And the thing of it is, you're automatically endorsing that,
sure,
that person to a point. Yeah.
Well, since you guys are making the decisions,
right.
You know, you're
like
the
chairman. I wrote one last year, but it was before I was elected.
Before you knew, yeah. Okay. Reasons to lose the scholarship. Grades have always been, it's always been a 2.5 because that's the statutory requirement for the renewal scholarship.
Grades, non-renewal.
late application.
Yeah.
Failed to return to school.
Yep.
And communication with the county clerk.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you cover all of them.
So the one, and I've had this happen a couple times this year, when I sent out the letters and then the kid says, oh, by the way, I'm going to school someplace else.
Oh,
after I've already sent out the money.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of brutal to say that you're going to not give them their money, but the contract will take care of that.
The communication aspect.
Yeah.
And that's solely what that is.
Yeah, I think the contract would take care of that because... I should know, I should have those contracts in hand before I cut the checks. And that's where, with, and maybe in the contract say, this is the school that your money will be sent to, unless we're notified by.
In advance by.
Yeah. And some of these kids are scrambling like at the last minute, and it's like, and that's another deal. It's like, okay, if you're scrambling the 15th of August to figure out where you're going to school, let me know, you know, because I get that. I mean, this one kid that I'm dealing with this year, he was going to go to UW, and he can't afford to go to UW. He needed to go to a junior college, you know. So I get that.
Sure.
That's all I have.
I think that's a good place to start, path forward mm-hmm. on this.
Okay.
And then we can pick up this discussion again after the first year.
So is it okay? I will, like I said, I already have Pinedale High School's request for information. And I expect Piney's any time. I think I'll go through what you've told me today and look at that information that I sent to the counselors for right now. And then I'll add on this list that will require a contract upon approval or whatever.
Okay.
I'll add some more. So is it okay if I work with Mac on what
Absolutely.
We do?
Okay. Absolutely. Very good.
Thanks.
Good job, Commissioner Rylehauser.
Well, thank it
you.
Wasn't me. It was Mary.
I understand that.
Thank
we're going to go ahead and thank you anyway.
Yeah.
We know who you were.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But this gave us something to talk
absolutely.
About on the way to Cheyenne. And we had counsel there, too, but he wasn't listening.
Right.
That's why
well,
I fell asleep.
And my part of it is I'm always trying to make my life easier.
Right. So, motion to go into executive session. Sorry, Dennis.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Second. Moved and seconded that we go into executive session to discuss personnel. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We'll have to catch you here in a few minutes.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Well, this ought to be litigation, too.
Oh, right, to discuss litigation. This is AE3?
Yep, this
A3.
Is 3.
Pursuant to State Statute 16-405-A3 to discuss litigation.
Are we on, Mary?
Need to restart.
Good job.
I know, well, I have a little practice going this morning.